You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll find out why our guest calls the new working class in America a sleeping giant.
First, as the investigation into the Lincoln Hills Youth Correctional Facility continues, some are looking at the situation as an opportunity for change.
The investigation into the Northern Wisconsin facility went public in December of last year and has uncovered complaints of abuse, neglect, and sexual assault by staff.
State officials, including judges, legislators, and the governor, are still looking for ways to improve the situation at that youth prison. In a recent piece in the Capital Times, our next guest says this extra attention is an opportunity to reform the state's juvenile justice system as a whole. Jim Moser joins us now. He's worked in juvenile justice for more than 40 years. He's currently deputy director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Well, you wrote that facilities like Lincoln Hills are the, quote, dinosaurs of the juvenile justice world. What did you mean by that?
Well, they are fading from the landscape all around the country. Some of it's the result of just the decreasing numbers of youth being confined around the country, the tremendous declines in juvenile arrests, and so there are facilities closing. And some of it is the result of states reconfiguring the resources that they have and downsizing, or what we might call right-sizing, downsizing institutions to be more effective at a more regional, local level than sort of these larger state institutions. So I think around the country there's dozens of smaller institutions that have closed and many, many sort of large institutions.
Right. This seems like a major question that Lincoln Hills raises, apart from the issues of abuse and neglect that we mentioned. The core concept of locking up young offenders in a facility far away from home, as opposed to something that keeps them closer to the community and maybe something more geared toward rehabilitation. Is that a thing where our school of thought is changing in recent years?
I'm not sure it's changing as much as, people realizing that, and maybe change is the right word, realizing that that the sort of large correctional institution model that has been more traditional in the adult world just isn't the right model for youthful offenders, and frankly isn't the right model for young adults as well. Putting large groups of offenders of any age in an institution, there are institutional challenges that come out of that make it difficult to really meet their needs and do the kind of work that should be done to get them back on track. And because youth are particularly susceptible to both influence negatively but also positively, if we can do the right thing, we have a great opportunity to get them back on the right track and get them on to becoming contributing members of the community.
Now, as you see it, what went so particularly wrong at Lincoln Hills?
Well, I think we have a lot to learn about sort of what went wrong. They've been in the middle of some transitions in terms of sort of changing practice and the kind of disruption that has occurred sometimes when programs have done that. If they have tried to move towards more what people are calling trauma-informed care and reducing the use of isolation and some other more punishment-oriented strategies. That takes a lot of work, a lot of staff, a lot of training. I think we're finding, and I think we'll wait to find out sort of what went wrong in terms of where that fell off the track. But the kind of difficult transition that occurs when you try to sort of unlearn what you have been doing to transition to a new model is very disruptive. Can be very disruptive for staff and for kids. And so I think they're a kind of a combination of staff challenges and kids who contributed to the challenges and were making that transition very difficult.
Well, it would be a big transition to move away from a center like Lincoln Hills, again, a sure, large institution, versus more local community or county-based care. But what kind of things are you thinking we should be looking more at? What should be included in our vision of juvenile corrections?
Well, I think we should go top to bottom. There's certainly a lot of work that needs to be done on the prevention end. We are seeing counties increasingly developing and this has been occurring over the last, decade or so, counties developing more community-based programs that provide good supervision for kids that are more targeted, that we're assessing kids better and targeting the resources in a better way and being more cost-effective in how we do it. A variety of both supervision, monitoring, but also treatment services that help kids and families work together to get the youth back on track. So that's been happening and needs to continue to happen, and we need to look at the juvenile justice system and the funding that goes into those aspects of the system. And then as we move into the deeper end, are there alternatives to these large institutions for that small number of youth who are going to need some kind of confinement and some period of confinement? And, you know, that may mean some smaller regional facilities that are closer to, you know, southeast Wisconsin and maybe central Wisconsin and maybe western Wisconsin. But, you know, how can we, you know, there will be some need for some confinement. How can we do that in a way and take the resources we have and align them to be more effective in the long run, kind of from top to bottom, or bottom to top, however you want to look at it.
Talking to Jim Moser, he's with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. He says Wisconsin should look at rethinking, changing the way juvenile justice works. He says this is a good moment to be thinking of it, given the ongoing investigation at the Lincoln Hills Youth Correctional Facility. Jim, as you described the changes at Lincoln Hills, you said it sounds like there were some well-intended, well-meaning changes, ending more punitive practices like solitary confinement, but the upfront work wasn't done enough in terms of training, maybe funding. So if we try to go toward a more local community model where there's confinement, it's in smaller, more local institutions,
sure.
There are more programs out in the community. How do we make sure that we don't have underfunded, undertrained systems that don't make that change work?
Well, I think you've hit on a really important point, and that is that I think one of the concerns I've had in following the Lincoln Hills effort is, you know, I think the staffing has to make the kind of changes that we're talking about or want to do to really be to provide better quality service and better outcomes takes more staff and takes more investment than we've been able to do. So we have to decide, you know, just downsizing and sort of in and of itself isn't necessarily a solution, and that's kind of what you're pointing out, is we want to make sure we invest in what we know works. We want to make sure the staffing levels are the right levels to do the kind of practice and supervision that we know is effective. We need to be able to really provide the kind of training, and it's a very, especially in a large institution like Lincoln Hills, a very long and arduous process to make the kind of transition that people were working on, and this has happened in other places around the country as well. And it's, you know, it can be a 5 to 7 to 8 year process of really making that change. So I, you know, I'm suggesting we look at sort of what's all going into the system, what are the resources going in. I think by and large I would argue that the likelihood is that up front the cost is higher, but the outcomes are much, much better on the back end. So the investment pays off in the long run, although we need to really sit down and say, to make this work, what are the resources we need?
Right. There's been a lot of conversation about incarceration in the United States, a lot of a growing amount of bipartisan agreement that too many people are imprisoned. But part of the reason for that is, hey, it's costing us too much. So do you worry that if we go in with that mindset, we're reforming criminal justice, in this case juvenile corrections, with an eye to saving money, that means we're going to underfund these alternatives right from the start?
Well, I would hope not, but that's something I think that has to be continued. Those, you know, like myself, who are advocating for changes like this need to be there advocating that if you're going to do it, you got to do it well, you got to do it right. Just to get the outcomes you want, you have to make the investment. And so I think, especially I think for youthful offenders, the community and the public is open to the notion that they're at an age where they can be get back on track, and that if we make the investment now in the right way, we can be successful. So I'd be confident that if we can explain it well and organize it well, the public would be supportive. But that it's not an easy thing to do, but it's I think in the long run a smart thing to do. And I think you see a lot of that in sort of the Smart on Crime initiative versus necessarily Tough on Crime.
Is there a place, maybe a county in Wisconsin or a state in the union that is doing it right, that you think is a good model that we should be looking at?
Well, a lot of people have talked about Missouri, which many years ago downsized their larger institutions and developed regional programs and had tremendously improved outcomes on the back end. New York has been going through this process with bringing kids closer to home. Texas has been doing this as well. Again, some of it's just downsizing by keeping kids in local programs, some of it's downsizing institutions. Some of the results of those programs are still to be seen, and that they're newer changes. So, I think the proof will be a sort of along the way, but we know the research about what works with youthful offenders can be much easier met at a local or regional level.
How much better is the outcome in general for a young offender who goes through a community-based system, less punitive, less corrections-oriented, versus confinement in a facility?
Well, you see reductions in recidivism. So, for example, kids who go to institutions, especially large institutions, maybe are struggling, you could have reoffending rates as high as 50-60%. You can cut that down to about 20-25%, cut it in half significantly or even more. I think Missouri reported about 8%. And, you know, significant reductions in reoffending behavior that have tremendous cost benefits in the long run. So it's pretty significant changes when you think about, you know, every offense is also a victim or two or three. And so if we could reduce, even in the long, in the sort of grand scheme of things, the National Council on Crime and Delinquency estimates that if we could reduce reoffending in general by just 1%, it saves about $10 million a year.
You mentioned earlier that this, in many ways, comes down to public support.
Sure.
What's the benefit for the public of making this switch from larger-scale incarceration to more local rehabilitation community-based programs?
You know, it really is that knowing that we're investing in something that's going to have better outcomes for the community, reducing reoffending and getting youth who are at that point where they can be changed and can become productive into a path that gets them to be taxpayers, not ending up costing us more money down the road. So it could be a significant difference in having a kid go down a track of crime or a track of employment and education. Significant difference per kid that has a tremendous impact on our economy.
We'll leave it there for now. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure. Sounds good. Thank you much.
That's Jim Moser. He's Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Council for Children and Families. He joins us to talk about how the investigation into the Lincoln Hills Youth Facility could be an opportunity to reform the state's juvenile justice system.